This is KHOI 89.1 FM, Story City, Ames. And welcome to Local Talk, where we explore the people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. I am one of your hosts for today, Ursula Rudenberg, together with Greta Anderson. This is the very first live broadcast from the KHOI studios. How does it feel?
It's gorgeous. The studio emits a green glow as I came in this morning. I thought of it as symbolic of the growing nature of our organization, and I see so many, everything in this room, I am reminded of all the people who made it possible.
That's
by
right.
Their hard work.
That's right. It is really an amazing thing to create something so beautiful. It's physically beautiful.
It has an artist at its helm.
Yeah.
That's you, Ursula.
Well, and Mr. Lynch, too, is really responsible for the way this place looks to a large degree. But it's not only the physical space. It's a really beautiful thing to experience so many people pulling together the way we did to make this happen. And, you know, one of the things I think about is up until now, we've all been in the front room, and everything happened in the front room, the office, the radio station, the production, socializing, meetings, everything was in the same room. And the most amazing thing is that everybody cooperated, you know, for almost 2 years. And one of the kind of most interesting things about it was that people had to do live radio there. And so they were constantly looking into the room and yelling, "I'm on the air." And then everybody had to be quiet for a while so they could talk. And
this is true.
It's a real experiment in cooperation. We do want to thank in particular Joe Lynch, who's really been the physical manager of the building, the physical space, and Paul Nelson, our chief engineer, who wired this, and Elliot Thompson and James Winters and Richard Morrison and Chris Ling, among many, many other volunteers who were here this weekend to make this happen. So thank you. And we can't wait for the party on Saturday, this Saturday, to show this off to you.
That's right.
You meaning you who's listening to the radio. We really want you to come down and see the studios. So, Greta, do you want to do the weather?
Yeah, I was just going to say, speaking of people pulling together, that's kind of the topic of our show today. We're going to be talking with some ISU students who pulled off a non-Visha celebration this weekend. But as for the weather, it was awfully icy on the roads, but the ice was bumpy, so that meant much better traction than you might expect. Going to get down to 24 degrees, we hear, tonight, so that's going to be another chance for your plants to freeze. Please cover them up if you have them out there tomorrow. Otherwise, it'll be sunny today, so the ice will melt in between times. Tomorrow, it'll be mostly sunny, and we'll get up to 48 and then down to 35 at night. Wednesday, it should get up to around 60, so it'll start to be more like spring in midweek.
Okay, thank you. And Greta, Mark Witherspoon will be joining us later on the show, and he's a faculty advisor to ISU Daily, and he'll be speaking with you about First Amendment Days, which will be happening this week. But first, we want to take time to reflect on the events of last weekend here in Ames, Visha Weekend, or in this case, a new event, which was kind of coined last week, Alternative Visha, non-official Visha. And while the future of Visha seems to be unclear, what is clear is that things have changed. As your community reporters, we wanted to explore some of the thoughts and emotions that came up as people grappled with this and hear what events have meant to people, especially to students. So we went to Campus Town and interviewed a variety of people, which was easy to do because there were people everywhere walking, particularly in groups, dressed in summer clothes, and pretty much everyone seemed to be going to a party. And so it was a very, very busy scene, really very cheerful scene when we were there. So we wanted to ask a few questions of what people were thinking, and so let's listen to what some of them said.
What is your favorite Visha tradition?
Personally, mine was Visha Village. Yeah, I really like the Humane Society comes, and the Reptile House comes, and yeah, I just like the animals that come.
Yeah.
And they have really fun little robots and things that come around. Like last year, they had a Wally robot.
Do you prefer Visha or unofficial Visha?
I had a whole bunch of friends who were going to come down with me, and they couldn't. They didn't want to because it got canceled. So,
yeah.
Like, a lot of people didn't get to experience Visha. This awesome weekend, so...
Cool. Yeah. A lot of my roommate's parents were coming for Visha Village in the parade, and they didn't get to come, so we didn't get to visit with all the parents, which kind of sucked.
Unofficial Visha, it's like, it's just about getting drunk, and there's not the school spirit. Yeah. No one's coming together to go to concerts or anything. It's just, I don't know. It's not as fun.
This is actually my first year here. I'm not from Iowa, yeah, so I was kind of looking at different things to do, you know, just...
Were you part of what happened Tuesday night?
No, I wasn't. When I first heard about it, I'm like, really? I mean, I really don't know why anyone would tip over a car, you know? It's, I don't know if it was because of the alcohol they had in them, and even that's not even an excuse for it, but...
Do you prefer Visha or unofficial Visha? Like
Visha,
definitely.
Okay. No question about it.
Okay. Cherry pies, pancakes at midnight, camp viewing.
The parade.
Yeah. Concerts.
Concerts.
It's more of a community thing. The unofficial Visha has turned more into, it's not as much of a campus thing, and it's not as centered around the university and our accomplishments. Now it's more, you know, okay, what are we going to do on the weekends type of thing. And so I think a lot of us really wish that there was, you know, they used to have all the fair stands around there, and that was a good time. We all enjoyed that, I think.
And then the actual Visha is more focused on the actual university, whereas the unofficial Visha, we focus on the unimportant things.
I mean,
yeah.
They canceled Visha, but they didn't cancel the parties.
Yeah. Like, everybody's out drinking. It's, now you're out, oh, what party should we go to? No, it's not worth it.
Everyone still comes into town. All of our friends have still, it's just, we're not allowed to say that it's Visha, which is, it's sad.
Yeah.
I've been to three or four Vishas now, and there's I've never had a time where I felt like it was a riot or like people were angry. Tear down streetlights and stuff.
And I think the weather, you know, everyone was ready to get outside, and
everyone look at me like I'm flipping a light pole or whatever the heck they did.
Congratulations.
I don't know.
Speaking of cheering, there was a lot of chanting that was going on, like USA and Visha and like Cyclone Power and whatnot.
Visha, of course we support USA, but we'll chant whatever's going on, but there's a point where when things start coming down, you gotta stop.
Yeah.
That's how it goes.
This is my first year being 21, so I was excited for, like, the drinking, going out aspect of it, just to see what that was all about, but I obviously don't really get to do that this year because, you know, it's just, like, it's not Visha anymore.
We have what?
So that's not really a part of it anymore.
Were any of you at Tuesday night's event?
No. But I saw it because I live right next to it. I was scared, honestly. People were just being really crazy, like, right outside our doors. And it was actually, like, honestly, like, terrifying, like, just, like, looking out onto it. So I went and stayed somewhere farther away. I mean, I guess that's just, like, a personality type. I guess some people have desires to, like, flip people's cars and, like, pull signs out of the ground. I've never been interested in that. I don't know.
What is your favorite Visha tradition?
Getting pancakes at 2 in the morning, center campus. Oh, yeah.
Do you prefer Visha or unofficial Visha?
I'd rather have official Visha. I mean, like I said, I like having the activities on campus and stuff. So, but, I mean, I can still go out and find parties and stuff, so it's not that bad. It sucks that the, you know, festivals aren't on and stuff, but other than that, I mean, there's not too much that isn't happening for me, so.
Right. What was your reaction to Tuesday's events?
I was kind of wondering why they had a riot on a Tuesday.
How do you feel about what happened Tuesday night?
To be honest with you, I'm disgusted about, I'm kind of, okay, sorry, can I start over?
How do you feel about what happened Tuesday night?
I'm honestly disgusted at what happened because, I mean, as a school, we've done pretty well, and to have that occur, to me, it's just disrespectful.
Okay, can I start over?
I wasn't riding, but I was in the middle of the crowd. I was right next to the guy who got hit, and It was shocking to me. It was unbelievable. To be honest, it started saying ISU, kind of, you know, school pride kind of thing, and it turned into something completely, you know, destructive. And but it started as a you know, peaceful as a loud chant could possibly be. But it started as a chant, and then it just became became destructive.
Why pull up a light pole?
It started with stop signs. People were knocking on stop signs, you know, all, you know, parking signs and all that kind of stuff. And then the next big thing was a light pole. There was cars flipped, signs taken down, and then a big metal light pole. And that's a percussion of objects.
For you, is it more fun for like official visa or unofficial visa?
An official visa will always be more fun than a non-official visa, to be honest. Always, no matter what.
This was really unfortunate, and it's really terrible what happened to that guy, and that they were treating police officers so crappy and flipping cars and stuff. But I mean, I'm still proud to be an alum. I don't think that it's a good reflection of the school. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, I know that they canceled all the events, but it's still a good time to, still a good time to see all your friends and stuff. I live in Wisconsin.
I live in Seattle, Des Moines.
Yeah. What was your reaction to Tuesday night's events?
And I don't know. Really, guys? Astonished that anyone would think that was fun. I just think when you get a lot of drunk people together and one drunk person starts doing things, then other people are like, hey, that looks like fun. I want to do that too. It's really sad though, because I heard the riot was only 1,000 people, and Iowa State has 33,000. Yeah. So I feel like a few ruin it for the money. Yeah.
So, as alumni, does this change your feeling about Ames and Iowa State?
No, I mean, I know it's kind of like crude, but I'm sure there's always been stupid students here. Yeah.
What is your favorite Visha tradition?
The riots. They're my favorite.
Were you part of Tuesday night's riot?
I was not. My feelings about the riot is that if you're going to have a riot, you might as well wait till the end of the week. Yeah. You know, why do it on a Tuesday? Because you just ruined the entire week for everybody.
Do you think the riot had a cause?
This is pure speculation. But what I heard is a lot of parties were busted at the same time, which funneled a ton of people down to Welch Ave. And so if the Ames PD would not have broke up so many parties at one time, there wouldn't have been such an influx of people coming into the area. And so, like, maybe it could have been handled a little better, you know, if there wasn't so many people coming in.
At the frats.
Okay. Were you saddened by the cancellation of official visa?
No, I think
not at all.
No.
It's no big deal because the party's still going on.
The party's still going on. So do you guys prefer unofficial visa then?
I prefer visa because everybody
comes. I don't think
comes,
it matters,
though.
I guess.
It doesn't even matter.
It's going to go on either way.
Right. So were you guys, any of you part of the crowd Tuesday night?
We, us were here, but we weren't a part of the crowd. We were just here, but yeah.
So did you see any of what happened?
We were a little too drunk to notice what was going on. I walked right through here during it and didn't notice. I just was blacked out.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were blacked out. Like, really.
I'm conducting interviews about people's feelings about Visha. Do you guys want to answer some questions?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, cool. Okay. Awesome.
All right, what is your favorite Visha tradition?
Campanelling.
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 Party.
I love the corn dogs.
Yeah, the walking tacos and all the,
what is it?
No,
the cherry pies. I just love how it's a warm time of the year and everyone's happy.
Yeah, it's just a good way to support school spirit, so it kind of sucks that it all happened.
And it up for us.
Yeah, that they ruined it.
Yeah, wait a
minute. You're listening to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, and we're looking back on last weekend impressions of the unofficial visa. And one thing we did hear very clearly was that most people really valued the university part of visa and sincerely missed it. And so we are lucky to have three guests in the studio today who are students who stepped up as leaders for visa. Welcome, Diane Frew and Adam Gunther. Justin Davis, and thank you for coming in this morning.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
Let's start with you, Adam. You organized a visa parade. Did you do that by yourself?
I planned the parade kind of all by myself with a little help from some other student leaders in the student government.
So, Adam, you're an undergraduate student, or?
Yes, I'm an undergraduate in genetics and animal science.
When did the idea occur to you to organize a parade?
I kind of helped organize a picnic on Thursday, and while I was walking around campus, I was talking to a lot of students, and they were expressing their disappointment about a lot of the things that they wouldn't be able to experience on Visha, like the Visha Village, the parade, International Food Fair. And so I thought, I was on Visha for, you know, a few years, and I was on the parade committee, you know, my first year on Visha, and so I thought maybe we could just have a small little group of people walk the traditional Visha parade route, and we could be kind of a symbolic thing to, you know, try to draw the community and the campus back together and still kind of have, you know, that feeling that we usually have on campus on that Saturday. entirety of Asia.
How did you imagine that this would be possible to pull together so quickly?
You know, I really didn't know. I was just kind of hoping for the best. I kind of threw the event up on Facebook and tried to, you know, recruit as many people that I knew that were my friends and other student leaders on campus and the different organizations that I knew have usually been on, you know, the Visha Parade year after year, and try to invite them out to kind of join me on Saturday.
So this was organized through Facebook?
Yeah, it was, kind of.
What did you tell people was going to happen? How did you entice them into doing this?
You know, I've been on Iowa State for 4 years, and I kind of made those connections with a bunch of different student leaders, and so I kind of called in all my favors to have them come out and join me on Saturday and kind of, you know, walk the parade route so that, you know, the administration and the Visha people could. So, yeah, I wanted to call in some of the favors that people kind of owed me throughout the years and try to get some of the student leaders and the different organizations to join me on campus.
So what happened?
We had around 200 people attend, and we had a lot of community members from Ames and some of the friends and family that came out to see some of the official Visha activities that we had, and a lot of students and student organization groups came out, and it was a really great experience to see so many students and community members join me in the parade and kind of walk the, you know, the traditional Visha parade. A lot of the Visha exec and co-chair members are out on the steps of Beard Show, and so when we walked past them, we, you know, we sang the ISU fight song, and then we stopped and thanked them for all the hard work, since a lot of the activities that they had all planned didn't really get to come to fruition.
Were there floats in the parade?
You know, we really tried to keep this kind of a small time thing and not have it be a safety issue. And since we weren't sure if we needed to have a parade permit or something, we kept it onto the sidewalk, so we didn't have like any motorized vehicles or parades or any stuff like that.
And did people carry signs or wear costumes, or was there anything kind of dressed up for the parade?
I really tried to tell people to wear cardinal gold, but I think like 80% of the people just wore the cardinal. But we had some people carrying, I think we had one group carry a banner. We had a couple of alumni, brought his family, had balloons, and then some people had like ISU flags and stuff.
So what was it like doing it?
You know, it was nerve-wracking, you know. It's kind of unfortunate that the reason the parade happened was because the official parade, you know, didn't get to occur. But, you know, it was a very good success, I think, for how much time we had to plan and under the circumstances that we had to.
Considering what it was like actually doing it, did you feel that this was worth having done? Was it an important thing to do?
Yeah, definitely. I think that after the incident on Tuesday, a lot of students and the community were kind of in the dumps about what happened, and that they really needed to have people bring them back into what really defines the Ames community and what the campus is. And so along with Justin and Diane here with me, we really tried to incorporate some of the traditional Visha values and the spirit of ISU and Ames back into the community, not let the incident on Tuesday that all the media outlets had cover the riots and have the picnic and the, you know, the showcase parade be kind of, if anything, the last thing that the Visha actually was about.
Mm-hmm. Did any people give you feedback during the parade or after the parade? What kind of remarks did you get?
After the parade, a lot of students and alumni members came up and they thanked me. And, you know, they said that they had a lot, they look forward to Visha every year, and that a lot of their family members and the other students that they have, you know, they've always looked forward to the Visha parade and the Visha village and all the activities and campus, you know, groups that come out. And they do different activities for families and other students. And so not having that this year, you know, they were really glad that they had something that they could come to, because a lot of alumni still came out Saturday to kind of tour campus, and they weren't really going to cancel, you know, alumni tours just because of the incident on Tuesday. So when they were walking around campus and they saw that we still try to have some assemblage of a parade, they were really happy. And, you know,
so you had an audience?
Yeah, we had, I think, about 50 to 70 people around the parade route kind of watching, you know. I think they heard from, you know, the different student leaders of the Ames community. The Ames Tribune actually had an article Saturday morning, so some of them probably read that and came out to see the shambles.
Did they give you any support when you were?
You know, a lot of them were really, you know, they were clapping, they were cheering, you know. Of them had, you know, some, you know, streamers that they were waving and stuff. It was kind of really nice. You know, it would have been a little weird if, like, no one was there, but we were kind of doing it for ourselves and the community, so it was kind of nice to have people there.
All of the props and externals were removed, and basically it was a parade of people that wanted to be together.
Yeah, it was kind of getting back to the basics of what, you know, ISU and Ames community is about. It's about, mm-hmm. you know, coming together and, you know, trying to have the community come back together and, you know, not have it be about the NCAA Tuesday, other. But it about community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've noticed that also with the patrols, the citizen patrols that were out on Friday evening, and we had a guest on Friday talk about that, you know, the community actually participating and getting even more involved, actually, than mm-hmm. less involved because of the change in circumstances.
Yeah. Diane Frew and Justin Davis.
Yes, ma'am.
You work together, right, on another event. Can you describe what you did?
Yes, we did. So it was on Thursday at the picnic that Adam had actually organized. But on the one on Friday was when Justin, he organized that one, also through Facebook, I believe. And we basically got together on the Thursday picnic and just talked about how incredible it was that students were on campus for this and we wanted to do it again. And Justin really took the lead on this one in organizing the Facebook event. And I basically helped him just try to think, I guess, a little bit outside the box and, like, think about, like, student groups that we could bring. Like, we had the hip-hop dance club come. He had some, the tightrope walkers. That was really interesting to just have activities on campus that students could involve in. And I think Justin can talk a little bit more about it.
Okay, Justin, you're an architecture student at Iowa State, right?
Yes, ma'am.
And you also told me you were in the pep band?
Yes.
So why was this important to you to organize this event?
I know, especially for all of us, it was our last year, our last Visha, and there was a lot of people who had put in a lot of hard work, especially in my instance, the pep band, we're all looking forward to that parade or showing people what we've done, because Visha is kind of that time when, you know, we set aside this special time for everyone to come out and see the variety that is that people do and what kind of what the community does and all the organizations, and so they can show off. And so I think a lot of people wanted to be able to see that.
So it's like a moment of pride for everybody to yeah. kind of show who you are at the university.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you felt that people were really, really missing that?
Yeah. Like Adam mentioned, everyone was kind of low in spirits. We'd been looking forward to it, and I know there's a large part of the community that doesn't get involved in the party scene, and so this was our Visha, and since it didn't happen, it really showed our community spirit and how we kind of banded together to try and make something happen.
Was the pep band planning to be in the parade?
Yes, ma'am.
So had you been practicing for this? How long?
Well, we practiced since football season, you know, being involved with the men's basketball pep band and also the women's pep band. That's a chance for both of us to come together, and we, you know, sit on a float and, you know, play the typical fight song and rah-rah stuff and get everyone excited. And, you know, it was kind of like one of those, like, sad movie scenes. You know, we turn in our jerseys, and there was kind of, like, no, like, exclamation point to the season. And so...
So this was going to be the last time you really played in public.
Mm-hmm.
So this was like your grand finale. And then,
yeah, this was yeah. kind of like, I'm a senior, nice way to go out. And so
uh-huh.
It's definitely not what we all expected, but it's something that we'll all remember. And I think really shows that that we are still our community, and sometimes it takes things like that, like mm-hmm. this, to happen, to have everyone realize what Ames and ISU is really about.
So when did it occur to you to organize an alternative event?
After the press conference, I remember just kind of being in shock and the whole town, and just kind of stood still, you know, when President Leith announced that everything would be put suspended. And so after that, you know, I started thinking about it, and then seeing Adam's event pop up and kind of gave me that little beam of encouragement to, like, go ahead and do it. And then, you know, everything couldn't have worked out better than how it did, you know, running into Diane on campus. And then we had an impromptu, like, emergency meeting where we just worked as fast as we can, set up an email, and emailed as many student groups to try and get out and show off their stuff.
So what actually happened?
Well, everyone congregated on Central Campus around lunchtime, and thankfully the weather was beautiful. And I think, you know, on the event on like Facebook, and I think social media has definitely played a big role in all this too. But just to encourage people, like, even if they had a guitar or they wanted to, you know, play frisbee or soccer or something, just to be outdoor and active, to have them come out. And, you know, we did as much as we could in one night to get clubs out, and it was great. Like I said, everything just worked out. We ran into the Dub H hip hop group, and they ended up performing, and there was also another dance flash mob. And then I ran into, you know, just talked to my friends and the juggling unicycling club, and, you know, friends with slack lines, and just trying to get as many people doing a wide variety of things as possible.
So in a way, it sounds like the club structure at the university is what made this really possible.
Yeah, because I think that's what Saturday Visha Village, that's kind of what the Fridays event was trying to get at. You know, a lot of colleges and organizations, this is their one time to where they can fundraise, they can showcase what they do, you know, when they're typically not, people don't know about them. And so Dan and I and Adam, we all wanted to just honor the hard work and commitment that a lot of students have put into their clubs and organizations, and show the culture that does happen in Ames that we don't get to see very often.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And really got overshadowed.
I'm curious whether any of you had any contact with university officials, such as the provost office, in planning this, or whether it was completely kind of on your own?
For the parade, I had to, even though it was an unofficial parade, there was a lot of stuff I still had to walk out. So I talked with the Dean of Students and the Department of Public Safety just to make sure that everything was going to plan, and that we had people out, you know, helping. We had the police and the parking division came out and helped close streets so that when we crossed the street, no one got hit. And since we had 200 people, you know, we didn't want to get segmented into, like, little groups. So we worked with, you know, Dean Anthony, and then I think the police and the parking really helped us out a lot on Saturday.
Interesting.
And for Thursday, we didn't really contact any officials, I think, because it was more of just students getting together on Central Campus. And I guess me and Justin didn't really feel that it would have been a problem, per se. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't causing any chaos or destruction or anything like that, just students getting together. And we thought the university would be accepting of that.
I'm having a little trouble picturing what it really looked like when you had your event. Mm-hmm. How did it look? I mean, what literally happened?
It was amazing. I think it was really cool. It was pretty chill. Just students were on campus literally eating their lunch and playing frisbee and all these other activities going on.
What other activities?
So, like, the hip-hop dance club performing and the juggling group, as Justin mentioned. So those were the three groups that I believe that we had. So it wasn't a lot of student organization heavy. It was more just students in general heavy on Central Campus. And it really brought together that unified ideal of students still wanting to, you know, enjoy each other's morale and encourage each other's spirit and just really having a good time with each other.
So it was more like a social gathering than people actually presenting.
Right. It was more of a social gathering. I mean, that's what Visha really is. Visha is a mm-hmm. way of students and the community members to come together and just enjoy each other's company through the various activities. Although we didn't have those various activities, I think what's really impactful and meaningful was still seeing the students willing to come together to really fight for what we thought, you know, is what our university is great for, not for the other parts of Visha that is usually typically known for.
And gets a lot of press.
Exactly. Yeah.
So what do you take away from this? What has this all meant to you?
I was thinking about this morning, and, you know, I think this just goes to show the tenacity of our community, and, you know, I think what's really great about Diane and Adam is we didn't sit and just let nothing happen. You know,
That's
it
right.
might have not been what we wanted, you know, or pictured in our mind, but something did happen. And I think that just is a great testament to the students of ISU that we can pull together and we can do things, you know, and just kind of, it's just crazy what happens when you silence any fear that you have about what may or may not happen. So that's just been really encouraging, and I've just been very thankful and very blessed to be surrounded by great student leaders like Adam and Diane and many, many more. We're just three of the people, and it's just, there's thousands upon thousands of students that came to the events, made it possible, and also the Ames and surrounding communities, too. I grow more thankful of the place that we live every day.
How about you, Diane?
So for me, Visha has sort of meant different things for me. It's just not only connecting with students and enjoying the student groups, but last year during Visha, I actually planned a fundraiser for the Boston bombings that happened. And through that, I saw how the community members really came together to donate funds for this philanthropy that I organized. And so this year, seeing that Visha was canceled, I was so distraught. I wasn't really able to imagine what the week would be like without a Visha. So I think by organizing this, it really showed not only the Ames community, but everyone else that students are able to, like Justin said, we don't just sit back, but we take action.
Why did you feel that you could not do without Visha?
Maybe because all the years I've been here, Visha has happened, and it was something that we always look towards, like forward to, the cherry pies, the parade, Visha Village. I remember last year when I saw Wally for the first time, just little moments like that, that just make you just sit back in awe of how great this university is and how great the students are for all they do. And I think just losing that factor, losing that strength that Iowa State has really been a little bit, like Justin said, decreasing our morale. And through these alternative Visha celebrations, we really just wanted to raise back that morale and just, you know, show everyone that Visha is not about the drinking and the partying and all that. Visha is a celebration of Iowa State. It's a celebration of the students. It's a celebration of the alumni. And that's the message that we really want to go through. Mm-hmm. And I hope that's what everyone else sees through that and not just some students just getting together to do nothing. But we really did something, and students appreciated that. They came up to us, and they were like, especially during the picnic, they would say, what you guys are doing is really great. And I think, you know, listening to that just shows how the students appreciate it. And this was for the students, so seeing that they appreciate it was really also impactful.
Adam, what did this add up to for you?
I think it's just really important to kind of, you know, even though Visha was suspended, you know, we still had the spirit of Visha, and a lot of the community and the campus really came together to pull off a lot of the events, both with Justin and Diane and then my event with the parade. You know, it's sad that Visha didn't happen this year because it really lost an opportunity for a lot of student organizations and campus and community groups to really showcase what, you know, ISU and Ames really had to offer to the alumni and other students, because it's really an opportunity for, you know, students to see what the campus and the community has done over the last year.
Now, are all three of you seniors?
Yeah, I think all three of us are seniors, yeah.
This is really you being able to leave the university feeling pride in the school that you went to.
I think I would say so. Like, for me, graduating and it being my last year in Ames in Iowa, maybe in general, because I'm actually from Illinois, but, canceling Visha, I basically thought, like, we didn't really know what to think at the time. And knowing that it's our last one, we really did want to go out with a hurrah. And hopefully this did it. And it did it for me, at least.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for sharing your thoughts with us. Is there anything else that you feel that would be important to tell us before we head out?
I know that President Leith mentioned creating a Visha task force. I think this would be a call for the community to really get involved with that, especially those of us who love and cherish Visha, to try and not only save, but to grow what it means. So getting involved that way, you know, letting your voice be heard and not sitting back and kind of waiting For the decision and then reacting, but being proactive for that. And so I think a lot of students and a lot of the Ames community and surrounding areas think it'd be a really great way to show your love and to keep this tradition going.
I'm curious if you have any thoughts on the first part of this show. We focused more on the part that has gotten press, which is the party that is associated with Visha now, which is in a way kind of a spring party in a way. It's like almost like a ritual coming out for the warm weather. Do you see some ways that that energy could be used to for a more positive end so it doesn't end in vandalism?
Yeah, I think the actions that happened were centered around the riots, which is something, you know, a lot of people can't control. And I think just organizing outdoor events that show the pride of Iowa State, outdoor, you know, when it's warmer weather, people are going to come out and they're going to support our school.
And they're going to be full of energy. I mean, the energy is just there.
Yeah, it is.
And you feel that it can be channeled in ways that will end. I mean, what you're describing was a coming together that was really joyful, mm-hmm. not destructive.
Yeah, and I think we'll be able to see more of that. This won't be the only time it'll happen. I think we're definitely going to be able to see more events like this happen.
And also, I know towards the weekend of Visha, this like Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, we had some students as well as administrators that went out on campus town at night. I believe Adam was actually part of that, just to walk around and ensure student safety. And I think doing that was really meaningful also, just to show that not only the students but the administrative also cared and trying to, you know, stop the riots from happening, break up crowds or anything like that. I think having that additional eyes in campus town was mm-hmm. really helpful, and hopefully we can continue that to sort of like to decrease any chances mm-hmm. of riots happening or anything like that.
From your experience, Adam, of being out there at night, do you feel that this street party, so to speak, can be channeled into a happy street party?
You know, I really hope that, you know, you can kind of channel something bad and turn it into something good. But I think, you know, especially on the weekend portion of Visha, a lot of the students that are out on Welsh Avenue, at least when I was talking to them, my group on Friday and Saturday was Jeff Johnson, the president of the alumni board, and then Dr. Tom Hill, the vice president of student affairs, and then I was with some other members of the government of the student body. So when we were walking out with our little, you know, group, a lot of the students that we talked to on Friday and Saturday night were, they were from out of town, Detroit, St. Louis, you know, Kansas City. So I think the crowd definitely was different from who was out there on Tuesday doing the incident and then who was out there during, you know, the weekend. And so, you know, I think you can really make some efforts to try to channel the energy out on Tuesday, but I think it's kind of beyond the control to have, you know, non-students out of town that are only here for the party, and they really don't have that connection mm-hmm. to the community or the campus to try to funnel it, because they're not really there to be a part of ISU or Ames. They're there to party, yeah. And that's unfortunate.
Okay, well, thank you so much for coming, and I really appreciate hearing your story about the side of Visha that has gotten less publicity. That's really wonderful to hear. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And Greta Anderson is my co-host, and this is Local Talk. And Greta has a guest that we're going to do a quick change here. Mark Witherspoon is faculty advisor at Iowa State Daily and organizer of First Amendment Week. And welcome, Mark, and let's make room for...
Jillian Welch, I love her music. I'm here with Spoon. as he's affectionately known on campus. Mark Witherspoon is a faculty advisor of the Iowa State Daily, and he is the organizer of First Amendment Week.
Well, one of the organizers,
and also one of the originators of this event. Mm-hmm. It started out as First Amendment Day, and now is First Amendment Week. Can you tell us the purpose of this event?
Well, the purpose of the event, obviously, is to get people to know and understand all five of their First Amendment freedoms.
Five
freedoms, yes.
There are five freedoms,
and most people don't know that. And that's essentially how this thing started way back in 2003. The director of the Greenlee School, John Amy, asked me to put on a national event. And it didn't matter what it was, just as long as a nationwide event on, and it gave me $15,000 to do it. So I says, I can do that. I can spend $15,000. And that was at the time that I was doing research into the First Amendment, and I had the First Amendment Center in Nashville had just completed its 2002 survey of the state of the First Amendment in the United States. And I saw that it was, you know, obviously right after 9/11. And turns out that 49%, half of the United States, said that the First Amendment gives us too much freedom. So that kind of scared me. And I thought, let's do a national event on the First Amendment. So that's where it started.
Okay. Well, you mentioned the five rights that are mm-hmm. that are
freedoms,
freedom uh-huh. five freedoms that are part of the First Amendment. I can think of, let's see, speech, religion, press, assembly, uh-huh. and
petition, which is the one that nobody, very few people get. There's about 4%. The latest State of the First Amendment survey, only about 4% of the United States of Americans could name all five freedoms in the First Amendment.
And petition is presenting petitions to your...
In various ways, telling your government, your representatives in the government, how you want them to vote. Or act, or you know, tell them what you want them to do.
Okay.
That's the exact government of the people, by the people, for the people. That's where the people are telling their representatives what they want them to do. So.
Okay, and so then First Amendment Day got expanded into First Amendment Week.
After the Visha rights, we're talking about Visha, Visha rights of 2004, President Jofre canceled the 2005. We had still done the 2004 First Amendment Day, we expanded First Amendment Day into First Amendment Week in 2005 and kind of had a more of a joyous celebration, and it was a lot of fun stuff. We've divided the week into each of the five freedoms. So speech was Monday, and the rest of the week. Assembly was Thursday. That was the interesting one because we tried to break a Guinness Book of World Records of people reading all in the same at the same time, and we thought we could do it because there's only about the record we at that time was about 1,000. So we thought we have 25,000 on campus. We can do this. But 2 weeks before the First Amendment Week, the official record was broken to by about 10,000 people in a little elementary school in England. So. It was we didn't quite make that one. So,
And the timing of this event is do these events take place nationwide? Then, were you tapping into something that already existed or creating something new?
No, we created something new, and essentially, part of my job. I was really interested in First Amendment education after I saw those statistics from the First Amendment surveys.
Sure.
So I not only started First Amendment Day here, but I also, well, and I say I, there was a ton of people who helped tremendously and originated with me. But I also started what we called a First Amendment Institute in association with the College Media Advisors Association, which is the National Association of Media Advisors, and teaching other media advisors and students, college students, how to put on creative First Amendment events that will kind of drive home the message to people so people will remember what the First Amendment, not only what they are, but how they interact together to create this democracy we have. So,
well, we here at KHOI are definitely grateful for that work you do. We have a framed poster about the first with the First Amendment on it in our studio here. It's vital to our work as a community radio station.
It's beautiful too.
That poster, yeah. So tell me about what you've got planned for this.
Well, it starts today, and we have from 3 to 6, we have the First Amendment Day Committee, along with the Sigma Alpha Epsilon fraternity, are putting on a Iowa Civil Rights Commission workshop from 3 to 6 p.m. today. We'll have representatives from the Iowa Civil Rights Commission come in and first talk about the history of civil rights in Iowa and how Iowa has been such a strong leader in civil rights going back into the 1800s, essentially since Iowa was probably before statehood. So they'll talk about the history of the civil rights from 3 to 4. And then from 4 to 5, we'll have a the civil rights for those sexual orientation emphasis. And then we'll have fair housing, especially we thought that would be interesting for college students to make sure that, there's a lot of fair housing for everyone.
Right.
And then from 6 to 9 tonight, we will have immediately following this will be, and that'll be at the the Civil Rights Commission will be at the Campanile Room in the Memorial Union. The 6 to 9 program will be we're in conjunction with the ISU Digital Freedom Group, who are bringing in the electronic April Glazer from the Electronic Frontier Foundation. To talk about digital privacy, and essentially the first part will be a panel discussion of I love this panel because it's so diverse. It is, you have April Glazer in there from the Electronic Foundation, Frontier Foundation. You have computer science. You have human interaction. You have philosophy. And you have journalism, people representing those areas. So it's all the areas. It's going to be a wide-ranging discussion on digital privacy and do we have it, do we not, and what's right, what's wrong, et cetera, et cetera. Especially coming in with the NSA and Edward Snowden stuff coming in. So
that's kind of touching on the Fourth Amendment, right? Or
well, it's the privacy, which is not really an amendment at all. So,
but it's very vital if we're going to speak freely to know that nobody's listening to us if we don't want to be listened to.
Or who's listening?
To us, right?
So the thing about this too is that at 7:15 we're going to have what they call a crypto workshop, which everybody brings their digital tools in, whether that's an iPad or a phone or whatever, and they will show you how to download software to protect your privacy against whoever.
Oh.
Whether that's the government, whether that's corporations. Yeah.
So, that's really interesting.
It should be fun. It should be fun.
So we're going to hack the NSA there together at 7:15 at this crypto party, which is taking place also at Memorial Union.
Uh-huh. The Memorial Union.
Okay, so anything else going on this week?
Well, we take a little break Tuesday, but then Wednesday we've got we're going to provide, we give a Champion of the First Amendment Award every year. This year we're giving it posthumously to a beloved journalism professor who really lived the First Amendment, Bill Kuhnerth. So that will have a little reception for him from 3 to 4:30. But then you'll have the big thing that night is Red Hot Patriot, the kick-ass wit of Molly Ivins, which was done on Broadway by Kathleen Turner. It's a one-woman show. We're bringing in Barbara Chisholm from Austin, who did it in Texas, did a lot of shows in, of this show in Texas, and it should be marvelous. It'll be City Hall Auditorium, and it's free. So you'll get a Broadway-quality play.
That's awesome. Yeah, Molly Ivins being
Ivins.
I never know. Molly Ivins being a very wonderful, witty Texas journalist.
Yes. Well, and on a national basis, everybody loved Molly Ivins and her wit, especially in her banter with the younger George Bush, President George Bush.
Right. And unfortunately, she passed away several years ago.
Yes.
And, and this will be a wonderful resurrection, shall I say, of that personality. And then finally, this last one that you have listed here sounds fascinating. Talk about Thursday's activity.
Thursdays, you're going to have, it's not very often that two plaintiffs of major U.S. Supreme Court decisions get together. And that's what we have on Thursday. At 7 p.m. Thursday in Memorial Hall, Union Great Hall, we're going to have Mary Beth Tinker, who is one of the plaintiffs in Tinker versus Des Moines, which defined the First Amendment rights of students in secondary in schools. The catchphrase that was in the Supreme Court decision was, students do not lose their First Amendment rights as they pass the schoolhouse gates.
Nice.
So, and then the other plaintiff is going to be Kathy Kuhlmeier Fry, who is the plaintiff in Hazelwood versus Des Moines. Hazelwood versus Kuhlmeier, which is the defining Supreme Court decision on press in schools. It said that administrators could censor press in the high schools if they had a good pedagogical reason. Now, the problem with that is pedagogical reason has now been known, has become, oh, I don't like that, don't publish it. So
right.
that's the unfortunate.
So that's a downside.
Yes.
But so these two women challenged their schools.
Yes.
And they are going to be together talking. That's going to be a very interesting event. That's really a coup for you to organize that.
Oh, yeah. Well, and we also have Mike Heaston, who is the attorney of the Student Press Law Center, worked with over 15,000 students in cases that they've had in First Amendment rights in schools. So,
okay. I wish we could talk longer, but we are running out of time here at Local Talk. And talking to Mark Witherspoon, faculty advisor of the Iowa State Daily and organizer, one of the organizers of First Amendment Week that's taking place this week. Check out ads around around town, around campus for more information about those events, and they'll be on our website as well.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mark.
This is Local Talk, and our guests today have been Mark Witherspoon from the Iowa State Daily, faculty advisor, Justin Davis, Diane Frew, and Adam Gunther, student activist who promoted events for the Alternative Visha. Your hosts today have been Ursula Rudenberg and Greta Anderson, and Local Talk is engineered by Rebecca Brown. Our theme song, as always, is Backtrackin' by Al Harris and Tom Richards from their CD, The Ballad of Kay Shelley. Remember to mark your calendars. April 19th, Saturday, is our coming out party for introduce you all to our beautiful new studio. And Greta, thank you for coming and joining us this morning, too.
Yep.
And if you enjoyed this show, tell your friends. And you can hear a copy of this show on khoifm.org, online, khoifm.org. And Local Talk is a radio production training workshop as well as a radio show. And if you'd like to join the team as a reporter, contact us at 292-2878 or at khoiradio@gmail.com. Your participation as audience is what makes KHOI possible and what makes Local Talk possible. So thank you for listening, and see you again on the radio.